Out of the Gate is all about story sharing. I'm Henrietta Pepper, hailing from the bluegrass state of Kentucky and inviting you to listen to and share personal stories of faith, family, and friends. This is a community for you to weigh in on shared reflections, which ultimately will ignite new conversations and story creation. I encourage you to join this conversation. Soak it all in, connect with what drives you forward, and get inspired to share with others.
Hi everyone, this is Henrietta Pepper with Out of the Gate, the podcast today. We're going to be honing in on the upcoming Father's Day holiday and how special that is for our family this year, especially since we have a brand new grandbaby and son-in-law who is a first-time father. And also, I'm going to be welcoming my husband, who is my husband of almost 31 years, Larry. And he's going to be joining me for some storytelling and kind of extracting some of the storylines from the book, Out of the Gate, what inspires us, drives us forward. It's a compilation of stories of faith, family, and friends. So we're really going to be honing in on family today and all that wonderful blessing that our family has been blessed with over the years. So a little bit about my husband and I. Like I said, we've been married for 31 years, and we have together seven beautiful children. Larry has four children from his first marriage, and then we have three together. So we have four girls and three boys, and we have a total of 18 grandchildren. So as I mentioned, we have a brand new granddaughter, Clara Joy, who came into the world on January 29th. So it was a nice, enlightening happening coming out of the last of COVID. So we'll talk a little bit about COVID and that effect that it had on our family and that it had on parenthood a little bit. So with no further ado, let's bring in my husband, Larry. A little bit about us. We have been together for almost 32 years, I guess, 33. Mm-hmm. And married for 31, and we have this wonderful tribe of kids and grandkids that is our blessing. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is family and just with the upcoming holiday of Father's Day. I thought it would be appropriate to give a little words of wisdom because you're such a great dad.
Well, thank you. Well, they are our investment, our blessing, and they make us rich. Couldn't be happier, and with plenty of grandchildren too, and I'm sure more on the way.
So just talk a little bit. I mean, we were lucky, you know, we kind of had the same value set and the same, even though we grew up differently, I think, a little bit. We grew up with close families. We grew up with, you know, valuing family, and I think that really helped us in our marriage and parenting because we organically had kind of the same style and the same value for our kids.
Yeah, but, well, we have a good friend who always says life happens. And as a matter of fact, that's her blog, Mary Varga.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
But it's really strange that how life happens. My father was an orphan. And my mom was an only child, yeah. And here we are with this huge family. But my dad came from a large family. He just happened to lose his parents young, and but they all had plenty of kids too, yeah, as they grew up and married off. So, yeah, life happens. It's really, really, yeah, interesting.
My dad's an only child, and my mom had has two sisters and a brother. So he kind of entered into the same thing your mom did. So it is funny. There's a lot of parallels in our life. But in terms of just style of parenting, people ask us that all the time because we have such a big family. It's like, how do you handle all that? I mean, talk a little bit about just being a dad and how you parent.
Well, we are what would be called by our kids early on, strict parents.
Yeah.
We had expectations. But we also had really, really good basic foundation in our marriage and also in our church life. And the kids were brought up that way.
Yeah.
And they always amazed me in that no matter where you set the bar, they got over it.
Yeah.
And they were very good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were strict.
But I don't either.
In their eyes, we were, because I talk about in the book how my dad would always tell me, my dad is a wonderful father, still is, still kicking around, and mom is a great mom. I mean, I had, you know, the ideal in my mind, parents, and so that bar was raised. Dad would always say, you know, I am not your friend. I am your dad. I am not here on this earth to be your best friend. So I kind of took that same approach with my kids. I mean, certainly we were always there, are always there, especially now that they're adults and they've got children of their own, most of them. Of course, the dialogue is a little different and the tone's a little different because they're adults. But even back in the day, we'd always hear them and hear them out. But we did have rules and we expected them to adhere to those or talk to us about it and be rational about it when we laid down some rules. But it wasn't that we were strict, it's just that we expected them to engage with what we set as standard, you know, ways of going about their life. And we looked at it as our job to keep them from getting into situations where they could possibly hurt themselves, that was first and foremost, or get into a situation they would be awkward to get out of and jeopardize their way of life. I mean, they all had really great expectations and for what they wanted to be and how they wanted to pursue their dreams. And the last thing we wanted is for them to get in a situation that would jeopardize that. So
I think it was important to know who their friends were. I'm a big believer in, and I've always told my kids, surround yourself with people that you would like to be like. And so you know, make sure that you find people that you admire and that will reflect on you and the way you grow. So that, you know, whenever they would ask us about, can they spend the night over at so-and-so's house, and we didn't know them, we would always call the parents and talk about it.
And that was horrifying for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrifying.
But I wanted to know the family. I just wanted to make sure that the people they were with were good people. So
yeah. I mean, you have to kind of get your style and your rapport with your kids, and every kid's different.
Yeah.
So stylistically, you know, you have to be sensitive to that, I think, as a parent. And it's not a cookie cutter thing. We have seven kids between us, and I think every child you parented just a little bit differently because of that.
But without a doubt.
Would you say? Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, we have one son. He's in the Army now, but you had to practically hit him in the head with a 2x4 to get his attention to tell him what to do. I don't mean that literally, but I mean, but he was tough to get through and make him understand that you meant business. He knows now because he's in the service.
One of my favorite memories was he got to the point, this was when the timeout chair was big.
Oh, yeah.
From a disciplinarian standpoint. And some of our audience may remember that, but that was a big, big thing when he was growing up. And it got to the point where he knew he had disobeyed or knew he'd done something, broken a rule or whatever, and he would just automatically start walking to the timeout chair. We didn't even have to tell him. He would just go and sit down in it. I mean, it was hilarious. It was hard for me to not laugh at that, but
he knew what was going on, and then after a while, we had to take the timeout chair and turn around the other way because he was...
Get distracted.
He was a comedian, and he liked to get... likes to get his brothers and sisters laughing, and then timeout chair was nothing but a stage for him if he didn't turn around the other way. But that was our son Evan, and but every kid's different. They're all very different.
Yeah, you have to pick up on their sensitivities, and you know, it's funny because now they're all grown up and they're still the same person, just in a grown up body. Doing grown-up things, but we still interact with them the same, have those same sensitivities, and I think that's what makes you such a great dad.
And it's interesting to watch the kids, we see reflections of ourselves in the kids. I mean,
yeah.
Grace Ann, when she was just a little baby, we would read to her every night. And even when she couldn't speak or anything, she'd lay there and she would touch the page and she would start turning the page herself.
Automatically. And so we knew she was picking up.
Couldn't speak, but she would.
She knew when the story page
baby,
needed to turn.
Baby jabber. And she would be, thought she was reading it, but in her baby talk.
Like I said, my dad is a fabulous father. But he was a big believer in putting yourself out there and making an introduction. And that was real important, he thought, too.
Your dad is, you got a lot of your dad in you. He's so outgoing.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know a stranger.
No, he's like the mayor of Bowling Green, I think. He could be.
Yeah, I grew up in Western Kentucky, so it's a smaller town, or was a smaller town. And like I said, Dad did not know a stranger, or he didn't know a stranger. By the time he'd enter a room, he knew everybody in the room and their kids' names and where they worked. And he's still like that. But he would always talk about the power of a handshake. And so there's a story in the book about that. And we used to, as kids, practice that. Like, people would come, we would knock on the door, introduce ourselves, give the handshake. And Dad was just a big believer in, you know, making those introductions and making yourself known and having a presence, no matter who you're meeting, if that's a neighbor or a potential workplace person.
My dad was more like a child.
Yeah, he was.
Every weekend, I remember when I was about 6 years old, we would, every Saturday evening, we would make ice cream. He loved ice cream. He'd have a bowl every night if he could.
He would do puppets. I mean, he was just a really playful
dad. I still have his ventriloquist puppet.
Yeah, somewhere.
In a drawer over here, yeah.
We inherited that because we had the youngest kids at the time. Yeah. But he was a great dad. So, yeah, we are very, very fortunate that we came from good, as my grandma would say, good stock. You know, we just had that. And we benefited from both of us having those solid Christian backgrounds and instilled that in the kids for sure. So let's talk a little bit about now that the kids are older, and I have a story in the book about role reversal and how sometimes we get parented by our kids.
Yeah, we make mistakes no matter what age.
I talk about in that story that we were sitting here, we built this house, a patio home, a couple of years ago to kind of downsize once the kids were all out of the nest. And our second daughter and her husband were finishing out a home. So they lived with us for about 6 months when we first moved in. And she entered into the room and we were talking or something. And she just stood up in the middle of the room and said, "You know, Mom, I've been noticing, I've been here the whole time, probably about 3 hours, and you all have not said one kind word to each other." And I was like, whoa, we have just gotten in this habit, this cadence of not bickering.
No, you just get...
But it was just like, I mean, we'd all been together, I guess, too much.
Get used to each other, and you take each other for granted at times. So.
And I still think about that. And I said, you know, Kristen, you are so right. And so even though we are super compatible, we are respectful, I think, for the most part of each other, you just get in this habit. So I think you have to put yourself in check as a parent. You have to put yourself in check as a spouse, a partner, to just make sure you're being as compassionate and caring in your actions and your words, right?
I think you have to treat each other as if you just met as a new person.
One regret, I wish I wouldn't have been as hard on myself as I was back then. I've gotten better about it. Yeah. But that is one thing that I did carry over to, especially my girls. You know, I just was so hard on myself. And so early on, and I critiquing my every move. And so I've gotten much more laid back about that in my old years. But I've really put them in check a couple of times. It's like the world's not going to come to an end if you don't look perfect every day, if you don't get that job that you wanted. If, you know, life, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
We're both big believers in that. So let's talk about COVID a little bit. But I think there are a lot of positives that came out of it in terms of our family nucleus. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I'm not a big fan of COVID, obviously. No one is. But I think that it has forced people to look at how life really is and how it is without other people around, and it, and not being able, I mean, being able to do this and talk to people in the same room without a mask on. But we learned that interaction with people, I'm a big hugger because my dad was, and I think because in orphanage you didn't get a lot of hugs, but he always hugged people instead of just shaking their hands. So
you know I am.
I missed that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Personal touches, just the hugs, as you said, the just the mental awareness piece of that is huge. And of course, not seeing our children. I mean, that was really hard. Christmas is huge for us. And so, I mean, huge. We call it Christmas in Eastwood, which is where we live. Used to be Christmas in Crestwood, where we lived for 27 years. And all of the family, all of the parents and spouses and significant others and everybody would come. And so we did Christmas a week or two early than the actual Christmas day.
So they could have Christmas.
Yeah, at their homes. Well, Santa obviously that wasn't going to happen during COVID. So we did a drive-by Christmas.
Yeah, we got
put our Santa clothes on.
Got the sled out.
Got the sled.
And drove.
For the people with younger kids who still believed in Santa, we made up this story that he had dropped off. I don't know what all we did, but we went up to Indiana where a lot of the kids were or live. And obviously around here where a few of our kids live. So we just did a drive-by Santa, but I just remember this like feeling in my stomach. It was almost like I was almost sick at my stomach because it was just such a, again, a big part of our lives, and it was just not the same. But at the same time, I'm like, good Lord, we are so fortunate that we didn't.
It was terrible for the kids.
Oh, it was bad for the kids, but, you know, nobody was sick at the time. We did not lose any loved ones during all of that. We have so many blessings during COVID. My parents didn't get the COVID, and so we are super blessed. So it was that mixed emotion of like, gosh, we're so happy to be here. We should just celebrate the true meaning of Christmas and not worry about all the festivities. But at the same time, that's just part of the fabric of our our family. So we recently welcomed our, I guess it's 19th grandchild. Clara Joy in January of this year. So that has been the light of our life for the last 4 months and a delight to have. And it's just fun watching our daughter.
Addicted.
I am addicted. It's so great watching our daughter become a mother for the first time and her husband Ben becoming a father for the first time.
He's a great dad.
Oh,
he's really,
is.
Really good.
Yeah. It's just natural. He's a natural. Yeah. And what do you think makes him a natural?
You know, I don't know. I don't think there's any way you could explain it.
Well, he's loving.
Yeah, he's very loving and very giving. And of course, this is a brand new situation for him, and their first baby.
It's life changing.
It is, and he has to. You have to, I guess, weave that all into your busy life. He has a job and he works.
Yeah.
And Grace Ann works too, very hard. We talked about that already.
Yeah.
But he has a knack for when he's with the baby.
Yeah, he just lights up. I mean, what advice would you give to a new dad? Because it can be daunting. I mean, I remember when when we went down and stayed with him when the baby was first born, just to be there, just to be support. We stayed in a hotel and just as they needed us. And wow. I don't think they really anticipated the effect of the lack of sleep that they had, and that toll that would take in the beginning, just getting used to that mode of operation. And I remember him telling us several weeks later, he said, we probably would have been dead if you all hadn't been on this site just so we could get an hour or two of sleep. But aside from that, just roll with it. Things are going to happen. What advice would you give to a new dad?
Oh, just kind of be prepared for the unexpected, because it's going to happen. I mean, every day, every hour, I see that baby change, and they change with it, and they I guess be ready for anything, because anything can happen. Like Mary's blog, life happens. It always reminds me of the conversation, or I guess the last words that Doc Holliday had with Wyatt Earp when he was dying from tuberculosis, and he was in his deathbed, and Wyatt had a real struggle in life with his family and everything, and he said all I ever wanted was just a normal life. And I think Doc Holliday said to Wyatt, there is no normal life, there's just life.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
changes constantly, so.
It does, and I'll go back, I guess my advice to a parent, in particular a father, would be, again, the baby, the child, the young adult is changing and evolving every day.
Yeah.
And so just soak it all in again. That's one of my favorite sayings.
It goes by so fast.
It does. And, you know, you'll wake up, we told them the other day, you'll wake up and she's going to be driving out of the driveway going to college.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just take it all in. And you're not going to be perfect. Again, that gets back to, you know, the human instinct to try to just be perfection. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to have days where it's like, am I just a failure as a parent? And you're not, of course, you're not.
No, they're learning to be parents while the baby's learning to be a baby, so.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're doing it together.
Yeah.
That's a great way of looking at it. You're doing it together. Well, thank you, Larry, for joining us today in our home. So it was wonderful having this chat and catching up. Catching up on parenthood and catching up on being a father as we near Father's Day. So I just want to wish all the dads out there a wonderful Father's Day, especially my dad, Henry. Happy Father's Day, Dad. You're the best. You're number one. And if you want to share a story around parenthood, around Father's Day, I'd love to hear it. You can catch us on any of the social media channels. You can follow us on our website, outofthegatebook.com. And so I'd love to share some of the stories of the book, and you can find those there, or share amongst the community of this audience. So tune in, and again, happy Father's Day weekend. Be sure to visit our website at outofthegatebook.com to stay updated on upcoming podcasts, events, and the launch of my new book, Out of the Gate, What Inspires Us, Drives Us Forward.